Okay, good afternoon. The topic I've chosen is to speak about the sugya of Das Torah. And I say the sugya, I want to learn the sugya without any political opinions, getting involved in any serious issues which might cause machlokas. But I think before anyone discusses any question, it's important to understand what the halacha says. Before I start, we speak about Das Torah. It's important to keep in mind two ideas. What does Das Torah? Das Torah means is, as I was growing up, sometimes you hear, how can you do this? Das Torah says that. Das Torah says this. And we always struggled with that. So there are two important caveats to keep in mind. Number one, a person can only speak about whether he has listened to Das Torah or not if he knows what he's talking about. If he doesn't know what he's talking about, who is he to argue on anybody who is a Talmud Chacham? I'll give you an example. This summer I gave a shiur in the mountains in New York about the sugya of Kol Isha. Sugya of Kol Isha. And I went through all the shitos, and I mentioned there were some shitos gaonim who hold that the sugya, the isser of Kol Isha, for a man to hear a woman singing, is only while he's saying Kriya Shema, he's involved in the Davar Shebe Kedusha. At the end of the shiur, a 90-year-old boy comes over to me, and he says to me, "Well, I paskin like that shita." I said, "What do you mean you paskin like that shita? There's a Shulchan Aruch. There's a Rambam." He said, I paskin. I said, "You heard one shir. You haven't been through the sugya? And you can paskin?" Or just recently, as I'm sure many of you have heard about the tefillin controversy in some of the schools in New York, where they allowed girls to wear tefillin, certain girls to wear tefillin during the regular minyan. And I'm not sure if it was Rav Herschel Schechter of Meir Tversky who pointed out that all of a sudden someone has the project shoot, and all of a sudden he can become a very big postek, and he can decide, go against Minhag Yisrael. And the point is that when we speak about Das Torah, we speak about a person who knows the sugya, or maybe has a handle on all of Shas and Poskim, and he admits himself, I'm not one of the Gdolei Hador. Can he argue on those who are recognized as that? And for example, when I was growing up and I was following the Shita of my father, of Aaron Soloveitchik, and someone would say, how can you do that? This Gadol says this and this Gadol says that. He says, you know, you're not obligated to follow specific gedolim. If someone has a posek, he always used to say, and your posek is reliable, can you rely on him? That's the first caveat. So we have to realize we're not talking, anybody can say, Das Torah, I can poskim for myself. You have to be a posek, you have to understand shas and poskim. That's caveat number one. Caveat number two, a very important caveat, is to know that when we speak about Das Torah, we have to understand that Have the gedolim been told all the facts? And they realize what's going on? Does it apply every single situation? So for example, if somebody reads the famous Birch HaShmuel, and he quotes the Reb Chaim Bebrisker, my great-grandfather, spoke out, and it's Asher to the University, and it might be Yarg Valiavar. Yes, my great-grandfather gave a psach like that for somebody. My father pointed out that Reb Chaim gave a psach for someone else to go to university and to become a doctor, a famous Dr. Soloveitchik. And the point I'm just trying to say is he was a specialist. He was a professor in Europe. The point I'm saying is that just because you hear somebody say something, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is the psak that was given. Do they understand the situation? Does it apply to everybody? Those are two caveats to keep in mind. Okay, so now we can do the sugya. So the main sugya begins, and going back to the first point, it's very famous that 1 year in Vilna, there was a chloria outbreak, and the Gdolei HaPoskim of Vilna, who were Gdolei Hador at that time, poskined that those who were sick shouldn't fast in Yom Kippur, and those who weren't sick should fast Yom Kippur. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was a young Rav at that time, he got up in shul, everyone knows Yom Kippur, and he made kiddush with Am Ve'eda. He said, everyone has to eat. Why? Because he was afraid that if some people would, if the psak was only those who were sick, can break their fast. Rabbi was afraid that a lot of people who should break their fast wouldn't break their fast. So he paskin, everyone should break their fast. And I remember my father, I said to my father, who did he paskin against? He says, he paskin against Shlomo Vilna, was one of the Gdolei Hador. And at that time, Yisrael Salanter was a young man. So, you know, but again, when we speak about that, You have to talk with Rishol Salanter, who did have a handle on Shas. So here we begin. The sugya begins with halachos that's mentioned in Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin, source number one. And the Torah tells us if someone has a question about a certain halacha, dam tami, dam tor, a certain din, a nega, a machlokes, and you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and you'll come to the Kohan and the Levim that are there, and the Shofet, and they will tell you what to do. And you have to do what they tell you from their place, the Makom HaMikdash. You can't deviate. And the pasuk clearly says in Dvarim Perek Yud Zayin, when there's a psak from Sanhedrin, you have to listen to the psak from Sanhedrin. The Talmud Yerushalmi points out, asks the question, what happens if you go to the Sanhedrin? And, you know, we're not talking about someone from the street, we're talking about an accomplished Talmud Chacham, goes to the Sanhedrin, and he raises the Shaila, and Sanhedrin gives the Psach, and he knows that the Psach is incorrect. He knows, it's not that, you know, he heard a shir on it. He knows the Sugya. The Yerushalmi says, Yachal im yom lecha, Mesechus Horius al yamin shi yismol, val smol shi yamin tishma lehem. What else they tell you, the right is left and left is right? That's the way the Yerushalmi expresses that you know that they made a mistake. You only have to listen to them when they tell you what's correct, and not when they tell you what's incorrect. In other words, in general, you have to assume they would tell you it's correct. But if you know for sure that what they say is incorrect, obviously you can't listen to them. And this is actually pointed out by our own Gemara in Maseches Horias Daveis and Maveis. The Gemara Maseches Horias talks about discusses the halach of someone who violates a chi of kares, and he has to bring a shogeg, and he has to bring a chatas, a korban chatas. And the Gemara, the Mishnah there says, who is chayev to bring a korban? The Mishnah says, someone who's royal lahara, and he follows the psak of Sanhedrin. So Gemara asks the question, Dathbez and Abez and Horius, who is royal lahara? Who is this? Who is the example? He goes, Shim ben Aza or Shim ben Zoma. So they go to Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin says to them, you have to do this. They follow the Pesach of Sanhedrin, even though they know Sanhedrin is correct. And they have to bring a Korban Chatas. So the Gemara asks, Ki hai gavna mezid hu? This is not a shogeg. What is this? This is a mezid. They know the Pesach. So how can they go against what they feel is correct and follow the Sanhedrin? So at the end of the Gemara says, what is referring to? At the very end, Kigon de Yoda de Osir, they know it's Osir, the Katowi, but they make a mistake with mitzvah slishmoa divrei chachamim. They make a mistake and they think the mitzvah to listen to the words of the chachamim overrides the Schi of Kares. And therefore, since Sanhedrin gave them a psach, right, they have to follow that psach of Sanhedrin. And if they did that, they have to bring, that's considered a shogeg, and they have to bring a korban chatos. So again, we see that if someone knows that Sanhedrin is correct, our Gemara seems to say, and Yerushalmi, you're not supposed to follow them. On the other hand, there's a Sifri, source number three. The Sifri points out, Al Pi HaTorah Yisharucha, when the Sanhedrin gives a psak, you have to follow the psak of the Sanhedrin. Al Divrei Torah Chayavim Misa. Your Chayav Misa for Divrei Torah, for a Diraisa. But if you go against the Rabbanan, you're not Chayav Misa, and if you go against the Rabbanan. But Asher Yom Lecha Taseh, it's Mitzvah Seh. Lo Sosra Min Mitzvah Asher Yidul Cha, Mitzvah Lo Saseh. Lo Sosra tells us it's a Lo Saseh. Yaminu Smol. Afilu Marim Beinech Al Yamin Shu Smol Vashal Smol Su Yamin. Lem. Even if they tell you something that's left and you know is right, something is right is left, you have to listen to them. So on one hand, we have the Yerushalmi Maseches Horias and Armis and the Bavli that seem to imply that you only have to listen to the Sanhedrin when you don't know that they're wrong. And on the other hand, we have the Sifri, which implies, no, even if you know they're wrong, you have to listen to them. So we have to understand the contradiction between the Sefri, between the different Chazal, Mamari Chazal. And this is something which is discussed by various Rishonim. Number one, I think the most famous is the Ramban. Ramban points out like this. My father was very fond of this Ramban. This was the answer he always used to. When he ate the shir, he would always express this Ramban. It says, a person hears a Psach of a Sanhedrin. And he knows the Psach and Sanhedrin is wrong. So he has a problem. On one hand, he can't follow Psach and Sanhedrin because he's wrong. On the other hand, he can't go to Sanhedrin either. So the Ramban says that he has to go ahead and be machmir for both his own opinion and for the opinion of Sanhedrin. Well, la'olam va'ed, says not la'olam va'ed. He has to go to the Sanhedrin. And once he goes to Sanhedrin, he expresses his case, he says the din. He says what his problems are, he asks the questions. And Sanhedrin listens to him. And Sanhedrin takes a vote. And Sanhedrin takes a vote even after he expresses his shita. At that point, he has to listen. He has to listen to Sanhedrin. He has to listen to Sanhedrin. And even if you feel that what Sanhedrin is saying is incorrect, at that point you have an obligation to mevatel daitcha to the Sanhedrin. You have to submit your own opinion to the opinion of Sanhedrin. And he gives the example. Let's say, for example, Rabbi Yeshua felt one time Rabbi Gamliel was... one time that Rabbi Gamliel was Koveya Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Chodesh, a certain day, and Yeshua felt he was wrong, and Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, I want you to come to me, you know, with your walking stick, your money, on the day that you think is Yom Kippur, to show that you accept me, the Rabbi said it be correct. Yeshua was very upset, but he came, because that's the halacha. You have to accept the psak. You have to accept the psak of the Sanhedrin. And my father pointed out that this halacha, according to Ramban, why? Because Sanhedrin is kovei what halacha is. And until Sanhedrin comes to a conclusion, there are different shitas. But once Sanhedrin decides, that's the halacha. He pointed out this is the halacha that only applies to the Sanhedrin. It doesn't apply after the Zman of Sanhedrin because it has to be decided of Amon Rav when all the people, all the Gdoli Torah at that time are together, and those represent the whole Sibur of Am Yisrael together. And therefore, he says, Lo Susser, according to the Ramban, would not apply today because we don't have a Sanhedrin. We don't have everyone today to decide together. This is the halacha. That is the shita of the Ramban. The Ran, we'll come back to the Ran later, and the Ran explains what's the reason for this halacha, al yamin shehu smol. What is the reason? So Ramban says, again, the same idea. If a person understands that he's correct and Sanhedrin's wrong, he might be correct. Sanhedrin might be wrong, and he might be correct. And he says, why is there a halacha like this? You have to follow Sanhedrin. So again, I think according to Ron, you would say the same thing. You have to go to the Sanhedrin and you have to present your case, and Sanhedrin has to decide what they think the halacha is. And they have to listen to the Sanhedrin. And why? And the Ron points out the reason is, he says at the end, that afilu barur lacha she'ena emes k'divrei haras Sanhedrin, afil bikein shama lehem. And what's the reason? The reason is because the most important thing that the Jewish people have is that we have one Torah. And if all of a sudden someone can say, you know, I think Sanhedrin's wrong and I think you should follow this way, you have all of a sudden different Torahs. And that's the reason also for... We say that a similar reason that lo b'shemayim hi. Why lo b'shemayim hi? Because imagine if you can still hear a tzivit from Shemayim, a person can say, this halacha changed, that halacha changed. And it's very dangerous that we'll go ahead and we'll have many different Torahs. So for that reason, the Ran says that the halacha lo sasur applies when it could affect the whole Torah and it could end up that you might have, God forbid, more than one Torah. More than one Torah. And that again, the same halacha of Losasa would apply at a time when that could be a consequence. But we know that for generations since the Sof HaRah, since the end of Zman Chazal, there have always been machloksin, and every place sometimes followed their posek, their gadol, and we still look at it as one Torah. So this halacha lo sasser, according to Ron, on the Raisa level, applies only this Matzah Sanhedrin, a time where someone would deviate from the Pesach of Sanhedrin, it might cause, God forbid, there to be more than one Torah. The Be'er Sheva, one of the Achdoli Achronim, lived, I think, in the 1600s. So he explains, so in other words, how do you deal with the fact that one Maimer Chazal says that you have to listen to them even if they're incorrect in your mind, and one says only if they're correct? So he explains like this. He explains that, let's say, for example, this is actually a powerful, powerful statement. Let's say, for example, you have an Adam Gadol. And they've had, even this Man Chazal, you might have had a number of Chachmei Chazal who argued in the Sanhedrin. And he knows, he feels Sanhedrin made a mistake. He says, so then we say, Al Yamin Shu Yamin, Al Smol Shu Smol. If you know for sure Sanhedrin made a mistake, you're not going to follow the Pesach of Sanhedrin. He says, however, let's say, for example, you don't know, in other words, you think Chazal made a mistake. It's not Chazal. You think Sanhedrin made a mistake. You think they made a mistake. Just what happened was is that Sanhedrin fasted differently. So he says, so if you're clear, you've been through all the Gemaras and the Torah Sheval Peh, and this is the Pesach that you've come to, and you are one of the Chachmei Chazal, then you can argue against Sanhedrin if you really know they made a mistake. So that's what Yerushalmi and the Bavli say. Al Yamin Shel Yamin Shel Yismol Shel Yismol. That you only follow Sanhedrin if you know for a fact, or even if you're not sure, but you don't know that they made a mistake. However, the Maimer Chazal, which points out that you have to you have to listen to them. Even if you feel you made a mistake, so that's if you're not sure. You're not 100% sure. Not 100% sure, then you have to listen to them. Even if at 90% you think they're wrong, you're right, you have to listen to them. So that's how the Be'er Sheva explains the sugya. I'll just point out the Abarbanel, which I don't have on the page. Abarbanel points out that Lo Sosur only applies if you know the Chazal made a mistake. Sanhedrin made a mistake, I'm sorry. You have to go ahead and you don't have to listen to them. That's what he says. Min Shimin, Smol Shul Smol. But if Sanhedrin makes a Takana, and a Takana which they're allowed to make against the Torah, for example, they feel a certain Hara Shah, you have to make a certain Takana, then you would be allowed, that's Al Yamin Shul Smol, Smol Shul Yamin. That's the Barbanel. And then the Tziv, in Sefer Devarim Paragimel, again, it's not on the sheet, and the Tziv says that when Sanhedrin goes ahead and they say something, you have to follow Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, even if they don't give a svara, they don't give a svara. But he says, So he says that really applies to after Sanhedrin, right? And there, someone gives you a psak halacha, and he says, this is the psak, right? This is the psak. So then, and they don't give you a reason. You know, have to listen. If you think it should be the other way, that's in the tziv. Okay. So when it comes out from this sugya, it seems on a deraisa level, certainly, according to Moshitos, I'll come back to that in a minute, the halacha of losasur applies to Sanhedrin. However, there is the shita of the Sefer Achinuch. And the Sefer Achinuch, he points out that losasur applies even vizmanenu. You look at the Sefer Achinuch, source number 8, it's Mitzvah Tav Tzadik Hei. The Sefer Achinuch says, Lishmoa v'kol besn ha-gadol v'las kol z'kol ma'ashid tzavu sonu v'darchei ha-torah v'isur v'mutter v'tomei v'tor v'chai v'potter v'chol dover shiru lehem shu chizuch v'tikun v'tateinu. You have to listen to the kol besn ha-gadol and whoever they command us, darchei ha-torah, isur v'mutter, tum v'tara v'yachai v'yapotter, and anything which they feel is important to advance or to mechazik, to strengthen the commitment of Jews to Torah. And that's what they would make a takana derabanan. Val zen nemar vasita v'yadavar shigidu lecha v'nichbal v'samach chizak hadavar al piyatar yishrucha v'shachar shiom lecha ta'aseh. And it's repeated to say, as difficult as it might be to listen to somebody sometimes, you have to go ahead and you have to listen. V'ein hefresh b'zeh b'ein hadavar shiyiru hein b'daitam o hadavar shiyotziu b'hekesh min hakeshim. And there's no distinction whether it's something that they see from their own svara, or they make a hekesh, they learn out from one of the ways the Torah is nidrash, or they have a soda Torah, and then he says, and we have to listen to them. And he says, Omer lachatase. And then he says at the very end, V'noheges mitzvah zu b'zman shebeistin ha-gadol b'Yerushalayim v'schar m'nekevos shakol mitzuvim lasos. The third line of the second page, kol ha-shir yoru. Everyone has to do like they say. U'bechlal ha-mitzvah. And the Sefer Chinuch says, including this mitzvah, gam kein lishmoa v'lasos b'chol zman u'zman k'mitzvahs ha-shofet. Klomar hachacham hagadol ashir yiyeh beineinu bizmaneinu. Okay? And you have to follow the chacham hagadol. And it gives an example. The Gemara says, it's just like Yiftach Bedoro, who wasn't as great as Shmuel Hanavi. A person can't say, why should I listen to Yiftach? After all, he's not as great as Shmuel. So Yiftach Bedoro kishmuel Bedoro. And therefore the Sefer HaChinuch says that you have to listen to the... He's the Komer HaChacham HaGadol Ashir Yeh Beneinu Bezmaneinu. And the Shita of the Ra is definitely, the Sefer HaChinuch, that Lo Sasser applies today also. There's no question about that. Yeah. That's an interesting question also. We'll get to it at the end. But certainly when it comes to halachic things, it certainly applies. Yes. That's the Ramban says, until you go to Sanhedrin, you should be machmer for both. And then you have to go to Sanhedrin. And after you go to Sanhedrin, they decide, once they decide, you have to follow their psak.
That would be okay for a lay sasser, they didn't preach it. They say it was a positive piece, fantastic. And the Sanhedrin
told you to do something. I guess that situation, first we're not talking... if we're talking about Korban Pesach, only situation would be Korban Pesach and Bris Milah. We're talking about a Chi of Karis. So it came to Korban Pesach, I guess you can go to Sanhedrin right away because we have some Mikdash. I'm not sure how you would deal with this situation. I'm not sure what they would do in that situation.
We have constantly where there's a psak, and then somebody has only shown the shiur.
Yeah.
Will they go on with the time of the day?
Yeah.
We have constantly where they completely turn to the Ramon.
So there's halacha. Every generation can decide differently. Every generation is
not. How can they do it? How can they come and turn everything upside down and say, well, if you have to go across the Gudal Ador, he was on Gudal Ador.
So, okay, so Yiftach Bedorok, and that happened at every door after this, Sanhedrin also. Well, listen. We'll come back and try to come back to it. Yeah. One more question, we'll go on. So I think was in his place they did that, and I think it must have, as I understand it, was before the Sanhedrin came to Chazal came to Hachra. That's I remember my father in Shir. If I remember, he told Rabbi Shmuel. That's what he said before they came to a conclusion. Okay, now, so that's the run. Now the Ran, the Drashas Haran, he says on a Rabbanon level, he says he asked the question. He says, when it comes to listening to Sanhedrin, there are two halachas. Number one, there's a halacha of Lo Sasur, and you can't deviate from Staka to Sanhedrin. And there's a second halacha of Achrei Rabban Lahatos. Then we have a question of halacha. What do? You go after the majority. So why do we need two limudim? And the Ran, the Droshes, or Droshes Nemasor, that's source number nine, he says there are two types of things that Chazal did, two types of halachas. Number one, they would be Mevayer Dinei Torah. They would explain Dinei Torah. And the second thing that Chazal did is they would make takanos. So he says, obviously, for generations after the Zman of Chazal, you can't speak about takanos. You can't speak about takanos. Takanos can only happen bizman, on a deraisa level, certainly, bizman Chazal. Well, we have to listen to what Sayyidina Torah. He says, however, when it comes to the takanos they may make, so that's Achrei Rabban Lahatos. That's Achrei Rabban Lahatos. So as far as how to explain the Torah, that's Achrei Rabban Lahatos. But as far as takanos they make, so that would be... That is included in Lo Sasser, right? And then he says, so therefore the Chachmei Gdolei Yisrael in every generation, They have to decide what their generation needs, and that will be based on Lo Sasser, and that will be a Din Darabban. I just want to point out, and this is very important, just because you see a poster that says something, it doesn't mean they really said it. Okay? It doesn't mean, and first of all, let me see this. I don't want to mention anyone's name, but I heard from an Aid Neman, I have to tell you, and I'm not going to say who it was. Now, first of all, I have to start and say is, I don't have a smartphone or an iPhone, okay? And I'm not condemning anybody that does. I just feel I'm going to waste time, so I don't have one, okay? Yeah, but I will say that someone was sitting by one of the Gedolim today. He went to ask him a certain question, and somebody else walked in. And he said, the person says, should I walk out? You know, this person says, no, he says, not, you know, you can stay in. He said, a yeshiva bacher who was involved in a certain shidduch, and he wanted to ask. He says, he's going with this girl, and the problem is, though, that the father of the girl has an iPhone. It's an iPhone, okay? So he wanted to know. So I have to point out, by the way, you should just know that you know, there are people who've come to me, and you know, men have come to me, and their wives had to lock their iPhones, so they shouldn't waste time. So I'm not saying it's not a problem. So this Adam Gadol started asking, what's an iPhone? Right? He had no idea what an iPhone was. So I don't know if he knows. And then he says, it was crazy because this fellow walked out and he saw on a poster the name, you know, his name signed on a poster. So again, but I'm saying, but however, the Ron does hold that there has to be, the Ron holds that in every generation you have to decide what should be the Gedarim and Takanas. And if someone has a Rebbe or a Rav that they speak to, the same thing applies. They know what the Tzibur needs, and they have to they have to decide. Let's say, for example, I'll give an example. You know, when I was growing up in the 70s, I don't think, when I was growing up in the 70s, a television was that bad. Okay, because the show was in the 70s, I didn't grow up in the 60s, the shows were clean, right? Let's say someone says already in the 80s, okay, late 70s, 80s, that, you know, it's a getter, it's a problem. You know, you can't ignore it, okay? But again, everybody has to know who is the person that they go to, that they speak to. But that's, the Ron says, Lo Sasser might apply at a rabbanon level. However, The Rambam, Nechdamad Yad Chazaka. And this Rambam basically explains, why is it? We always say, you know, why don't we do this, why don't we do that? He says, we always say, you're not Chazal. What makes Chazal so special? Now, obviously for us to say that today, we can't say that, because Chazal were giants, what do you compare to Chazal? But the question is, how about the generation after Chazal? The Rabbanan Savroi. They were giants. They just missed out. What made them different? Why couldn't they give a hurrah, a din, that everyone has to accept? And the Rambam in his Akdamah Tziyar HaChazakah says very simply like this. Because what defines Chazal, besides their greatness, and by the way, we know that throughout the generations, there were great Rishonim and great Achronim, who, if they were living in the time of Chazal, they would have been included as Chachmei Chazal. But something else Chazal had, that until the end of the Chachmei Chazal, Torah was centralized, right? Wherever Chazal were sitting, whether it was Eretz Yisrael or it was in Bavel, and Chazal said something, it was accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. And the Rambam says, but at the end of Sof, at the end of Hara, at the end of this, of when Ravin Rav Ashi passed away and their Talmidim, when Klal Yisrael was dispersed, and therefore one group of Chachamim could not have an influence on the whole world, at that point, that was the end of Chazal. And he says, if you look at the source number 10, and it's, I would start from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom of the source. Ve'yos beis din shel osa medina yechidim u'beis din agar oshim echad batal v'kam v'shonim kodim chibur ha-gemara. Lefichach ein kofen anshim medina zu. So the beis din of that medina, they're batal. Ve'ein omer lebeis din zel ligzor gzeres, gzeres beis din achar medina so. So, he says, because again, we don't have to listen, you know, you don't have to listen to one bezdin over the other, because the only koach of a bezdin is when that bezdin has a koach on the whole world. And when you don't have that, then you can't have a hurrah that has to be accepted by the whole world. And that's why, according to Rambam, Lo Sasser and Acharav L'Rahava says L'Rahava does not apply. And I think that in general, certainly when it comes to Psak Halacha, that was general on Haga of the Jews throughout the generations. For example, the Raman mentions there's a chel of Rhinus. There's a chel of that if any of us would eat, would be Chai of Kares, and the town called Rhines in Germany. So they ate that chela, and the Rambam discusses what happens if I go visit somebody in that town. Can I go ahead and can I eat from his kelim, right? And Ramah is makel, you can eat from his kelim. The question is why? Does it mean within 24 hours, after 24 hours? It's not important. What's really important is the fact that there was a town which went ahead, basically the hug of the whole world, because they had their Adam Gadol that they followed. They had the Adam Gadol. And we know that this has definitely happened in terms of how long you wait between milk and meat, and many other issues. There's definitely been a machlokes over the generations. And by the way, a person's not allowed to pick and choose. A person has to follow who his Rav is, which his tzibur is. I remember when I as a brisker, I don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos. That's my thing. I don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos. Maybe we'll give another share on that another time. Okay, I wear a talis in shul. Now, one time someone heard that I wear tzitzis on Shabbos. You know, teenager, and he said to me, "Oh," he says, "maybe I don't wear tzitzis on Shabbos either." So I said, "You know, if you don't want to use an erev, and you want to be makom yashin chadash, and you want to keep a long Shabbos, then we can sit down and talk. But you can't go ahead, and you can't pick and choose." But so, however, certainly a person has an obligation to follow the Rav, the Gadol in their region, and I will define that in a second, what that means, right? However, no one has authority over the whole world, and until that happens again. And that means, yes, being accepted, and that the whole world is together as it was in the days of Chazal, and we're all like one sibur. We can't reinstitute the halach l'asasa according to the Rambam and according to others. Now, Rav Chanan Wasserman in Kovet Shiurim, Kuntres Divrei Sof from the Siman Beis, so he points out, he tries to suggest that what the Rambam says is that you don't have Kol Chachma Yisrael or Ruban. But if you have Kol Chachma Yisrael or Ruban together, so he says that then the Loch of Lo Sosur could kick in. He said in the days of the Hedron, he wanted to say that, you know, after the Second World War, you definitely had Kol Chachma Yisrael. However, I don't think it's an issue of Kol Chachma Yisrael. I think it's an issue of the fact that all the tzibur is united under one flag, and it's all the same tzibur. So let's say, for example, when it comes to minhagim, so we know a lot of people have certain minhagim they have from their ancestors, and even though they have these minhagim, all of a sudden they move to a different place, and some minhagim are dropped. For example, give an example, putting on tefillin chol hamoed in Eretz Yisrael, right? I'm sure a lot of us have made aliyah, and a lot of us in Chutz Laretz did not put on tefillin chol hamoed, and a lot of us did. And a lot of us, I'm sure, followed the Ramah. They even made a bracha. Then you come to Eretz Yisrael, so I'm not going to say no one puts on tefillin, because I'm sure there are some who I put on tefillin inside the house, but most people don't put on tefillin. Why? Because when you come to a certain place, all of a sudden, you're not from the same area you used to be, and therefore, you're following different minhagim, you have different hanhagot. And the same thing when it comes to Das Torah. I mean, listen to your Gdolim, they give a psak. So that also applies to the Sibur that you belong to. And every Sibur should have someone who gives a psak. And sometimes the Gadol will say, you can follow your Rav, and you follow the Rav's Talmud Chacham, you know. But everyone should have. And sometimes you belong to a certain Sibur, and what somebody else says does not apply to you. I was, this year, someone called me up. Someone was very upset at me this year. Because even though I usually don't do it, and hopefully I will probably not do it again, but I felt it was very important to endorse a certain candidate. And somebody called me up, and he started to list off a slew of gedolim who said you can't vote for this candidate. Now, by the way, none of these gedolim lived in Beit Shemesh, so they wouldn't know. So I don't even know what they knew, what they were told, and what they said. I don't know what they said. However, I wasn't even given an opportunity to respond. But what I wanted to respond to tell them, you know, there are those who said that we can support this candidate. And I also wanted to respond, how come you didn't call me to question which schools my children go to? Okay? And my children go to schools based on hashkafa I accepted from my father. and also which my uncle was very much in favor of too. My children go to schools where Talmud Torah is extremely important, but they also get a secular education. But why not? I don't know why not, but by the fact that I send my children to these schools, that must mean that there are Gedolei Torah who endorse this, and that's how I follow. Right? And therefore, the Rambam is saying it's not just a question of the whole world being together. There is the different Sibur. Now, when Sanhedrin comes together and everyone else is able to discuss, and we have a Sanhedrin again, yes, we'll be united again under the Sanhedrin. I don't know what will be then. But right now, we're not one Sibur. And even though we can, you know, you can hear a psak, but until you have everyone who could sit down and can talk and everyone's accepted, we haven't reached that stage again of Lo Sasur. So on a halachic level, it's very difficult to say, except for the Shita to say for Achinuch, that Lo Sasur applies, because Sefer Achinuch does use the word Klomer HaChacham HaGadol Ashir B'neinu B'zmanenu. B'neinu might mean in your tzibur, I don't know. B'zmanenu means in our time. But according to everybody else, I think everyone has to have their tzibur, kol tzibur v'tzibur manhigov, and their leaders. And that's as far as Lo Sasur is concerned. As far as does the halacha of Lo Sasur apply even to issues that are not halachic? Now, by the way, it's very difficult to say that any issue is not halachic. I'm sure, you know, you all heard that, you know, when it comes to Shalom Bayis issues. So they say it's very simple. What? Anything which is the meal of the Shemaya spiritual matter should be decided by the husband. Anything which is the meal of the Vesa, physical matter, decided by the wife. It says, so why should there be Machlokas? Machlokas is, well, it's something, meal of the Shemaya, or meal of the Vesa. It's something spiritual or something physical. My father told me a joke. He said that one time someone came, and it was like, what was the Machlokas? It was Machlokas, what should they serve for supper? Should they serve for supper noodles or rice? The man wanted to serve noodles, wanted to eat noodles. And his wife wanted to serve rice. And they came before the Rav, and the Rav says, I don't understand. What's the Machlokas for? It's very simple. This he says, that's a Shalom Bayis, Rav. This is different. So he said, so the man said, so the lady said, rightfully so, listen, what I serve for dinner is the meal of the Vesa. And the man said, no. We serve for dinner, my meal of the Vesa, but here's meal of the Shemaya. Why? Because the Machlokas we've shown him what bracha you make on rice. Do you make a mizonos? Do you make a hadam? Do you make a shahakol? But I'm noodles, I know I'm making mizonos, so I don't want to have rice. The same thing. However, let's go ahead and let's see. So the Baal HaTanya, we'll skip around a little bit. If you look at source number 16, the Baal HaTanya, and we'll come back, clearly says, it's a very famous Baal HaTanya, Igeres HaKodesh Peruch HaVeis, he says like this. He says, you ever see, I guess people used to come ask him all sorts of questions. He says, have you ever seen anything like this? Bechol Sifrei Chachm Yisroel Shalom Vachronim? Lios minig v'tikun lishol be'etzah gashmias kedas ma'alasos b'yoni ha'olam ha'gashmi? Did you ever see in the books, as the Baal HaTanya says, the earlier books, later books, that a person should ask what you do in the physical world? He says, even the Gedolei Chachm Yisrael, like the Tanoim Aroyim, that they knew all the secrets. However, you only go to Nevi'im. Who did Shaul go to and want to find out? He went to Shmuel. He says, and that's only found out by Nevuah. So that's the Baal HaTanya. It doesn't mean that you can't go for Eitzah to somebody, right? And many times, sometimes a person who is involved in learning, and a person who's a chacham, a person who's your Rebbe, right? He can give you great Eitzah. My father was a Talmud of Rav Huttner. And my father taught a shir in Chaim Berlin. Rav Huttner asked him to come teach a shir below him. And Rav Huttner was giving my father shimush at some points of how to be Rosh Hashiva. So Rav Huttner said to my father, I want you to sit with me in the office today. And I want you to listen to how I talk to the Talmidim. And boys came in to speak to Rav Huttner about what they should major in university. Yeah, it's true. The 1940s, okay? And my father said to me, I was astounded. One boy comes in, and Rav Huttner told him to major in psychology. And another boy comes in, and Rav Huttner told him to major in accounting. So after the boys walked out, my father's a young man, he said to my father, he says, why did you tell this boy this? He says, because you have to know what each boy needs, right? So in other words, someone who wants to ask an Eitzah, so obviously, you know, it's always, and we'll come back to this, someone wants to ask an Eitzah, so obviously someone involved in learning might have the right insight. There's no question, or a Talmud Chacham. But obviously, one of the caveats are you have to know what a person is, what a person needs. It's very, very important. There is a source. There's a Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Tezayim and Aleph, and it's Gemara Brachos also, source number 12, that when David HaMelech was thinking of going into war, so he went to the Sanhedrin, and it says at the very end, I'm not going to read through the whole Gemara now, the Nimlachim the Sanhedrin. He was asked a question to the Sanhedrin. He asked a question to the Sanhedrin. And so people say, you see, David HaMelech went ahead and he was able to, David HaMelech went ahead and David HaMelech was able to, he had to ask Sanhedrin first. Okay, even though I think, by the way, David HaMelech, I didn't look it up, my impression is David HaMelech was the Nasi. In his day, he was ahead of Sanhedrin, I think. I think he was Mekabel Mechia Shaloni. He wasn't ahead of Sanhedrin. So Rashi points out, why did he go to Sanhedrin? He went to Sanhedrin because he had to get Rishus. What does Rishus mean? So Rishus could mean a Psak Halacha. It could be. But Halacha is you have to go to Sanhedrin. There's no question about that. But also, my uncle, Yashiv Yir Soloveitchik, pointed out that Sanhedrin had two roles. One role of Sanhedrin was they were the decider of what Torah Sheval Peh is. That was one role. A second role was they represented Klal Yisrael. And therefore, anything which required the permission of Klal Yisrael, you couldn't go and take a vote. It was impossible. So who did you go to? You went to Sanhedrin. So for example, in that respect, the Sanhedrin was equal on some level to the Congress. They represented Klal Yisrael. When you're going into war, you have to get Rishus. You have to get Rishus. Again, David HaMelech himself was the Nasi. So that's one idea. Second idea also is to understand that an Adam Gadol you go to sometimes when you need to do something, and if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, you're not sure you can do it. Okay? Now, so sometimes an Adam Gadol for a certain reason, not for a specific person, for Tzibur, has a right sometimes to even go against the halacha. There's a very, very famous Gemara in Maseches Gittin. And the Gemara in Maseches Gittin is that when the Al-Kamsa Bar Katzachar Yerushalayim, a certain person got even the Chachamim, so what did he do? He went to the Roman Emperor, said to the Roman Emperor, he said, the Jews are rebelling. So the Emperor said, prove it. He said, go ahead and try to send them a korban, and they won't accept the korban. So what did he do? He went ahead and he gave him a korban. After he left the king's palace, or the emperor's palace, he made a mum in the animal, a mum which is not acceptable for Jewish people, but the Romans considered it not a mum. And they got there, and they didn't know what to do, because they knew that if the emperor would hear that it weren't mocking of his korban, there would be trouble. So they suggested being mocked of the korban anyways. They suggested maybe take killing him. And there was one of the chacham at that time, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulis. He said, you can't do it. And the Gemara says, because of the anivus, the modesty of Zechariah ben Avkulis, the temple was destroyed. So the Maritz Chias asks, what do you mean the anivus? What modesty? You could say the chasidus. He didn't want to be over in the Avera. You could say about the tzidkaso, his righteousness. So Maritz Chias says, no. He says that sometimes he says that if you see there's a certain need for something, you have a right to do something shelo ketorah. That's what he says. And he says, if you look at the end, he says, four lines from the bottom, hador hador ki getter. So this is given over doli hador. And that's why Rishai Ben Avkulis did not want to be mocked this korban, because he didn't think of his gadol hador. But he wants the gadol hador. So again, it's important to know that a person who wants to be Mora Heter for a certain reason, for Klal Yisrael, that can't be done without the Haskama of the Gdoli Hador. Now, I'm not sure how that's accomplished today, but that's an important caveat. So even though you don't necessarily have, as the Baal HaTanya says, to discuss every single issue, however, if there's an issue which affects Klal Yisrael, there's no question that you have to go before the Gdoli Hador. Can Chachamim make a mistake? So again, I'm just quoting what Chazal themselves says. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he was worried about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And at that time, Yochanan ben Zakkai tried to make shalom, tried to make peace with the Romans. However, the leaders of the rebellion were not interested. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai decided on his own to go on a mission which saved Torah, and because of Yochanan ben Zakkai, we're still here today. And that was, the mission was to go ahead and to smuggle himself out of the out of Yerushalayim and meet with the general of Rome, who actually became in the process the emperor of Rome. And it's curious that the person who helped them was the head of the rebellion itself, who couldn't go back on his plan. Right? So he gets out there, and the whole story happens, and then, you know, he refers to the general as the emperor, and then the emperor general heard he had become the emperor, so he said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I'll give you three wishes. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Tein li yavne v'chachameha. Give me yavne v'chachamim. The second wish, he said, give me the Beis Nasi. Because the Torah at that time was in Yavne. And he says he knew that Beis Nasi would be destroyed. Shalim would be destroyed. But if the Torah would survive, the Jews would survive. And it's not just Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew this. Even the Gentiles know that the only reason it survives is because of the Torah. My father told me that in one of the history books written by a Goy, a non-Jew, he paints a picture of the Jews leaving Eretz Yisrael at the time of Golus Bavel. And he talks about the very end, the very back of all the Jews that were leaving, there was this old man with a donkey. And on the donkey there were these scrolls. And that's the Chamisha Chumash Torah and the Neviim. And the point is to say is the only reason why the Jews survived because of that old man, the Torah, going into Golus with the Jewish people. And the Basin, why did he ask for the Beis Nasi that they shouldn't wipe out the Nasiim, the house of Hillel? The reason why is because the Nasiim at that time, they were a source of help and pride to the Jewish people. As long as they had the Nasi, the Jews had something to cling to. And the third was to cure Rabbi Tzadok, who was very sick. And he was also probably a point of inspiration for the Jewish people. And the Gemara asked the question, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ask for Yerushalayim? Why didn't he ask for Yerushalayim? And the Gemara gives two answers. One answer is, he thought that if you add tafasta merubah lo tafasta, you ask for Yerushalayim, you get nothing. Another opinion is, meshiv das chachamim achor. Sometimes the time of gullus, sometimes the time of trouble, even a chachamim doesn't know the right thing to say. I think I saw in Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust, a story that once a certain lady, actually I think she in the end ended up marrying the Blujava Rebbe after the Holocaust, came to the Belzer Rebbe to ask a question, where should she go, this way or that way? And the Belzer Rebbe said, Meshav das chacham achar, at a time like this I can't give right this answer, you decide for yourself whatever you think is the best. So my uncle pointed out that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, his whole life, was very bothered by this decision that he made. There's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. Tanu Rabbanan. Kishechol Rabbi Lezer, when Lezer became, I'm sorry, that's a little further. You turn to the next page. I'm not sure I covered the whole thing. The first line on the next page. Kishechol Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. His Talmidim came in to visit him. Once he saw them, he started to cry. So Amrlo Talmidim, his students, asked him, Neri Yisrael, Amar Yemini, Patish HaChazok. B'nei matabocha, why are you crying? Amr lehem, ilu lifnei melech pasur adam, hayu mochli nosi, shayom kan umachar bakever, shimko esalayin kasu kas olam. He says, if I was going before a melech pasur adam, a king of flesh and blood, a king who doesn't live forever, he doesn't live eternally. And I know what he does to me is temporary. Wouldn't I be afraid? And now I'm about to go before Melech HaMelechim Lachim. I shouldn't be afraid. And then he added on one more caveat. He says, V'lo od el sheyesh lefanai shnei drachim. I have two paths. One to Gan Eden and one to Gehenim. I don't know where God's going to take me, where I'm going. I shouldn't be afraid. And he just explained, first of all, it's very surprising. Yochanan, if Yochanan and Zakkai talk like that, what can we say? But why the second point? My uncle, Yoshua Birslavich, pointed out that at the end of his life, he was very concerned. Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe if he had said, give us Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim would have been spared. And that's what he was concerned about. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself, and he saved Klal Yisrael. He saved Klal Yisrael. But himself was concerned that maybe he made an error. The Chassam Sofer in Hashmata Siman Kuf Tzadik Aleph, and I should have mentioned this before, the Chassam Sofer himself says that he says that what's the reason why we have to listen to Sanhedrin? He says it's not because they never make a mistake. He says he mentions like this. He says we look at the third line. Shafilu ta'o chas v'shalom. Viti HaKadosh Baruch tu'usam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives the mistake. U'meilu nechshad as HaKadosh Baruch Hu yisbaruch shemo shenichem v'tu'usam l'hashl ko Yisrael. He says that Sanhedrin, I'm sorry, he says, wouldn't make a mistake, however, you can't change anything. So Chassam Sofer basically says that Sanhedrin would not make a mistake and would not never let them make the mistake. Okay, that's what he says. Now, I want to finish off with just a few ideas. Okay, number one, there was a Rav in Toronto, Rabbi Grobart. Rabbi Grobart was a very, very big Talmud Chacham. Someone told me he was a very big Bucky in Erevin. Now, the Toronto Erev for years was considered to be an Erev a lot of people wouldn't carry in. It's true. He had a very, very big kula. My father-in-law told me that someone once came to Shlomo Zalman Orbach to ask him a shiloh about the Toronto Erev. And Shlomo Zalman said to him, "You have Rabbi Grobart in Toronto. Why are you asking me?" He had a very big kula when he came to Erevin. He was the Rebbe of Rav Felder Zatzal from Toronto. And he grew up in Europe, of course. And he said that when, you know, after the Russian Revolution, there was a whole question, how should the Jews feel? What should you do with all the land? Because all the land belonged to the serfs, and now, you know, this is before the communists took over, and what, you know, should you divide the land equally? And there was a whole question whether you should divide land equally, not divide land equally between all the citizens. I'm not really sure what the politics was. But Rav Itzel Panovitcher got up, he said, and he said, if the Jewish people want, Klal Yisrael wants it, that means it's Meis Hashem. It's interesting that Klal Yisrael wants it. He didn't talk about the Rabbanim. He said, Klal Yisrael wants it. That means it's Meis Hashem. So I just want to finish off with maybe two ideas. My uncle Rav Yashabir Soloveitchik, and I actually have it on the third page, source number 17. I found it online. 11 years ago, I actually copied it from the Jewish Observer. The Jewish Observer is not online yet. I think that this is probably the only essay they ever printed for my uncle. And this is a translation of the Hesped that he gave for Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. This was, I found it online. I was able to Google a few of the words. I found it online. And in 1941, Reb Chaim Ozer was Nifter. My uncle was, at that point, involved with Aguda. And he gave a Hesped for Reb Chaim Ozer. And he spoke about the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was the tzitz. And the Kohen Gadol was the choshen. The tzitz goes by the brain. The choshen goes by the heart. And he says these two, the choshen, the heart and the brain, correspond to two different types of questions. Some questions, he says, have to be ruled upon with the head, strictly using one's intellect. The Kohen Gadol answers questions involving permissible or forbidden, pure or impure, guilty or innocent, with its tzitz, which are opposite the brain. The halachic menute were rendered via his intellect. You decide halachas. That was the tzitz, Kohen Gadol. However, there were other questions the Kohen Gadol had to answer. Should we take a stand or should we not take a stand? Should we make a public protest or let it go in silence? Do we fight or not fight? All these questions we often refer to as political questions were ruled on utilizing the choshen that sat on the heart. Why? And he says it was always the same Kohen Gadol, the one who passed the halachic shailus, that he would pass the other shailus also. Those questions don't necessarily involve halacha. It's the same high priest who was reading the holy tzitz, which would atone for impurities, which would render rulings over dimensions of a mikvah and the size of impure stains, intricate rulings on Erev, the same kind we consult over in Batumim. He says there was no division of power, there's no dichotomy. The dress for questions was the same regardless of whether it was about milk and meat or politics. The very same Kohen Gadol whose mind was infused with the purity of Torah, of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lezer, the analysis of Rabbi Vayin Rava, the Rambam, and the Ravid, and the Beis Yosef, and the Ramah, he would also render all the questions of political nature which stood before the communal agenda. And He doesn't. This is actually a speech of Rabbi Friend. He doesn't quote the rest, but my uncle pointed out that was Reb Chaim Ozugrodzhensky. And therefore, this is definitely an essay my uncle wrote approving of Das Torah. There's no question about it. However, if you look a little further down, taken from Leaves of Faith, written by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, his son-in-law, he writes, true, he did not in the long run hold aloft the banner of the Al-Jali that is now termed Das Torah. This he said in 1941. After the Holocaust, he could not hold his banner aloft because, he says, there were people who made mistakes. There's no question. They didn't tell people to run away. Not for us to understand it. It's not for us to understand. I have to tell you that my grandfather, Moshe Soloveitchik, he was a Talmud Chacham. He wasn't sort of one of the Gdolei Hador. Moshe Soloveitchik wasn't one of the Gdolei Hador. Moshe Shurin. He was a Rashiva, he was a Rav, and he couldn't make a living in Europe. And he went to America to make a living. I mentioned this before, I think. And he came back, he wanted to bring his family over to America. And my grandmother went to the Rav of Ritva, who was one of the great Bali Musar, who actually I named, he was unfortunately buried alive by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And I buried my third child after him, and his name was Shmuel Freundlich. And my grandmother ran to the Ritva Rav, and the Ritva Rav says, if he wants to go to America with your family, you have to get a get. And he was right, because in those days in America, in the 1920s, taking little children to America, they would have gone off. So my grandfather came back to Ritva. What's he supposed to do? And he came to Ritva, and he noticed. This was in late 1929, I think. And he noticed things had changed. Why? Because he said to somebody, he was trying to convince the Jews in Ritva, don't you realize how difficult your situation is? What do you mean? He says, when I left here, Jews weren't afraid to walk out at night, and now Jews are afraid to walk out at night. So now my grandfather didn't have a choice. He took his family to Eretz Yisrael, and they lived in Palestine for a number of years, till finally when, I guess, my mother and her younger sister were a little bit older, he felt he could go to America. People missed out. It happened. And no one can judge. But that's what my uncle felt, my friend of Aaron Lichtenstein. However, and this is very important. However, the important point to keep in mind is, even though he did not hold the banner of Das Torah aloft after that, after the Second World War, he did reprint this Hesped. He did reprint it. And why did he reprint it? I think of Aaron Lichtenstein explains. He says that at first he inclined to this view and even showed the enthusiasm, as he said in his eulogy for Chaim Ozer Zatzal. After a time, he abandoned this view. And in the course of decades, he accepted and even sharpened the distinction between matters involving mitzvot, in which significant weight is attached to opinions and authority of other leaders, or to private judgment. Nevertheless, although he rejected the decisive reach of rabbinic authority in political matters, he was insistent that such matters be determined from a perspective of refined spirituality and in conscious Torah values. And he fully recognized that he was one of the few who could bring the proper measure of spirituality to bear upon religious Zionism so as to ensure its standing as a Torah movement. So he says, even though he didn't feel there was someone who was able to embody that, at least when he was alive, but he felt the idea is a true idea. Because even though, and this is important, even though maybe we follow halacha, we follow our poskim, but maybe there's a certain question to decide for ourselves. I still remember when there was election in Chicago. So if anyone who was from Chicago, everyone knows there was the big, you know, Richard J. Daley. He ran Chicago for years. Then he died. And at that time, there was an election between, I'm not sure which election, which was, but there was an election between two candidates. One was Dinkins, right? Dinkins Washington. Harold Washington. Harold Washington, thank you. Harold Washington, thank you. And who was African American, and between, I forgot his name, a Reformed Jew. I don't say his name, it's not important, okay? And I remember in the Beis Medrash of Yeshiva Sprisk after Shabbos, one Shachar Shalom Shabbos, there was a big argument going on. My father was on one side, and everyone else was on the other side. And I remember who was the spokesman of what else. Having this whole discussion, my father said, you should vote for Harold Washington. And the best racial tendencies of the Jews came out. What can I say? And everyone said, what other one? And it went on for half an hour. And I still remember at the end, one of my father's leaders said, so Rebbe, I should vote for Harold Washington? He says, no, vote Vote for whoever you want. I'm just telling you, I think it's stupid. Vote for somebody else, you know. However, and by the way, my father was right. Even though Harold Washington won, the person who, the candidate that ran against him, he took the first fight of the next morning, never conceded defeat. Right? He never conceded defeat. I was just very unimpressed with that. The reason why my uncle printed this article is to say that whatever decision we make, and the truth is, Baal Tanya says, certain decisions you can decide on your own if you have hashkafa of Torah, but it has to be in coordination with Torah values. So I think what's important is that people have, first of all, we have to have respect for every Adam Gadol. It doesn't make a difference what camp you're in, who they are. You have to respect for every single Adam Gadol. And to refer to an Adam Gadol, you know, by his name without saying a rabbi is tremendous disrespect. And it's important to, you know, to follow, obviously, you know, for those who are poskim, or to follow the piskei halachos of those who are your posek. And to always realize the idea of Das Torah is an idea, not specifically you have to listen to somebody. The idea is that every decision that you make should be in coordination with Torah values. And that certainly is an obligation. And obviously there are those who feel that only you have to hear to somebody. And those who feel certain decisions a person can make on their own. Every tzibur has what they follow, as long as we learn to accept Lahagdil Torah Liadir.